people come up to us all the time and thank us at our events, saying like, oh my gosh, we've started doing the family meetings and now our bonds with our children have grown so much.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hey, 18 Summers crowd, Jim and Jamie here, and we're having a very nice conversation today with old friends of ours, Mike and Lindsay McCarthy. Mike, Lindsay, how you doing?
Awesome. Thanks for having us. This is fun.
No, good to have you guys here. Yeah, well, we go way back. Mike and Lindsay were the authors of The Miracle Morning for Families, and we've known each other almost 10 years since we started hanging out, doing different real estate things together, having family masterminds together. We've been to each other's houses, and then we released our book, which you guys supported, and then I was lucky enough to write the foreword to the first Miracle Morning for Families, and now, years later, you're releasing a second edition. So I want to make sure we talk about that quite a bit today. But I'd love for you guys just to talk a little bit about things we would talk about off camera, like the importance of family life with successful entrepreneurs. Like, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks. And just, it's worth noting that in the second edition, we're keeping the old foreword. So
no, you are.
We actually did wonder that. Jim was like, do you think they want me to keep
one? No. You're still front and center in the book.
I would have paid for that too. You know, you should have hit me up for the continuation.
Oh, you didn't get the bill already?
Not yet.
But yeah, you want to give a quick intro?
Yeah. So like you said, we wrote The Miracle Morning. It's actually for parents and families. And over the past about 5 years, Mike and I have been working together, running live events for entrepreneurial families, teaching them how to get some systems up and running in their house. And people were like, you should put this in a book. So now that's going to be the second book. We put it in a book.
Love it. Yeah.
And I love you guys.
So we've got the second edition of the book coming out, which I think if you ever write a parenting book and you have kids, you got to go back and update it because you learn so much as a parent and it's just the work is never done. So we just felt like we wanted to update it, share that knowledge. And then we've also worked into the playbook, we're calling it, that we're releasing all of the different things we've led families through. I think it's 20 plus family masterminds we've done. And so we just put all the best work of what can help families collaborate and work well together. And we put them into exercises and we're excited to get that out to the world. I think it's just stuff people need to work on as families. And whether they do it using our systems or they invent their own is sort of irrelevant. We just know it's good work that they really need to do.
Yeah.
And that's what I really love about you guys is when I first read The Miracle Morning for Parents and Families, what I loved most was that it was like digestible. So I'm such a kid because I'm always with our children that I liked the idea of the way in which you presented it. I felt like it was super digestible. It was super make it your own and applicable, easily to apply. And so I love the fact that you guys are now coming back and saying, all right, so we got a lot of shit right, but revise, revise, revise. And that's one thing that we say always to our clients as well. Like, don't just do it once and be like, oh, I mastered it, because you're lying to yourself and everybody else. So I love the fact that you guys started with something super profound and wonderful that you gifted the world to families, parents, and really you just took something and made it digestible and applicable. And I love that. And now you're able to go back and say, hey, we've learned a little along the way. There's lots of people to learn from as well. And here's that wisdom. What are some of the top, you said there's 20, but do you have a couple of like top things that you saw? And I'm sure we have similar lists, but this was a pain point and we really want to help families address it.
Yeah, like a top pain point that families are facing today, because you guys have worked with a lot of families now. What's a top pain point and then kind of the starting solution?
Well, I mean, I would start with, and I'd love to hear what Lindsay might want to say on this. We'll have to make sure I don't dominate the conversation here. But I think one thing is just like a weekly family meeting. And I think that's where a lot of the exercises we teach come to life and where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, because you can have lots of great ideas and lots of strategies, but if you don't have a place where you come together and talk about how are these working and what needs to be tweaked and what might we change, I think it becomes tough. And most entrepreneurs, they probably have 10, 15, 25 meetings a week, and they lead their teams and they have meetings about where they've been, where they are, where they're going. But what's interesting is we've found that very few entrepreneurs take that same skill set and bring it home and have collaborative meetings with their family. It's just kind of like, we're going to do whatever we do. And it becomes highly not purposeful. It becomes scattered. And I think, you know, that's one of the things is like, if you did just one thing, have a great collaborative meeting and talk about meaningful stuff once a week. Just the lesson of having a meeting where you talk about important things and you ask the kids their opinion, there's something to be said just about that. No matter what you actually talk about, having that space protected every week is so important.
I mean, and the funny thing is, for us entrepreneurs, that's so clear on the business side. But you bring it to the family side, a lot of mother and fathers that might be very successful in the business world, they actually get intimidated to run a family meeting. Even though they're running these big, you know, pretty intense business meetings, they almost don't feel equipped. At least that's what we've seen with people we've worked with. Jumping off of this, because I think this is so important. How does this meeting get set up? Can you give a little bit of details? Because all of a sudden, smart businessmen and women start going, oh my gosh, family meeting. I don't know how to run that. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a child psychologist. I can't do it. And it's like, okay, slow down. Like, you know, what would be a few pointers you'd give people to start this?
Because parameters.
Yeah, maybe. A couple parameters, guidelines for this.
So, I mean, that's kind of what's in the playbook is we have a step-by-step guide of like, ask these particular questions and write it all down and create your own agenda. So we don't want people just to use what we've already created. The kind of the magic behind it is the co-creation process. But we have all the questions that you need to ask in order to make your family meeting agenda. But what's important to Mike and I might not be what's important to your family. So true. The part of the process is figuring that out. Like, what is important to discuss on a weekly basis, or is it a weekly basis? Do we only need to do this once a month? Do we need to do it every day? Like, that's kind of the fun part. It's kind of a choose your own adventure, but we lay it out with all the questions that you need to ask.
And Lindsay, how did you guys arrive at this? Is it just trial and error, or how did you come up with this strategy?
It was a lot of trial and error. We used our own kids as our guinea pigs for a lot of these things. And then once something kind of hit a chord, we were like, oh, we could teach this at the next event. And then other families were like, oh, this is awesome. We love this. And that's kind of how it came about.
Yeah. And I think like most families are going to probably arrive at similar and important things that need to be discussed. Like one is, what's everybody's goals individually? We talk about in the book, like in our family, we all have to have at least one big goal we're working on, two big goals that we're working on. One is a fun goal and one is a challenging or a hard goal. And I think also talking about what are the family's goals, like collectively, what do we want to be accomplishing and doing? And I think also it's like, you can take what works for a high performing team in the workplace and start to think about, well, if that works for making a team really collaborative in the workplace, why wouldn't that work in your own home? So for me, what I knew how to do really well was use John Berghoff's appreciative inquiry and exchange method to create meetings that have a certain rhythm to them. And one of the things is, you know, that equal voices of everyone involved should be included so that it's not just mom or dad saying, okay, here's the meeting. Now let us tell you everything that's going to happen and tell you what the goals are and tell you what our values are. It's actually collaborative. And I think another thing that works well in the workplace is if everybody knows what the shared values are and they're well-defined and they even had a role in creating those shared values, they're going to own them and live them more easily and more profoundly. And so I think for us, we've got shared values that we created as a family. Our first iteration, by the way, we did led by you guys at our house in our backyard. And we've since taken that plus what we've learned with John's exchange method, and we've turned them into values that not only have the value, so a title like one is resilient warriors for us, but also has a guiding principle, a description of what does it look like to be a resilient warrior. And so I think that's what worked for us. But again, to Lindsay's point is, if you're a leader or an entrepreneur and you have things that work well at your work team, consider the fact that you already know how to do that. You just have to change it a little bit. And now you already have the skill without being a child psychologist or a professional to lead that same team or that same meeting within the family. And I think that's a skill set that they probably already have, but they haven't realized that it can easily transfer to the family. And I'm not saying they should go home and be the CEO, because I think it needs the style that we use is one that's very collaborative.
Group effort. Yeah. We see that. Everyone sits at the same level of the table. And I think you guys hit on a really important, again, as you guys know, we see eye to eye on simple rhythms and exercise can really create a strong family. Like, it doesn't have to be complicated, but I think people overlook the simple. To find something complicated, they think that'll get better results. And I don't think they have to. And when I hear something like this, like, I know the results that can happen. Like, what are the results you guys have seen, not only for your other own family, but families you've worked with by doing this? What are some of the positive results you've seen that you've been able to enjoy and others have been able to enjoy?
Yeah, well, I mean, people come up to us all the time and thank us at our events saying like, oh my gosh, we've started doing the family meetings and now our bonds with our children have grown so much, which I'm sure you guys hear tons of the same feedback, just doing the board meetings once a quarter, the impact that it has on the relationships in the family is just so powerful. So think about doing that once a week, having this mini, and it could be like, we've started doing ours in the car ride to church, and it's, you know, a 20-minute ride to church. And by the time we get there and back, our family meeting and our church service is done for the week.
Which is great. There's nothing wrong with efficiency, right?
Yeah.
And so, Lindsay, how do you, when something's not working, you know, like you said, just like us, our poor children, our test models. And I mean, I think it's really incredible because we are so intentional and we are trying so hard, right? All of us here are like super stoked on our kids. However, sometimes it doesn't land well. So what do you do in those moments? Or how do you explain to maybe our listeners to not just give up, but to keep, what are some of your tips?
I think it's okay to give up sometimes for the day. Like, if the meetings is really not working and you're gotten into an argument, like, I think it's okay to be like, all right, meetings adjourned for now. Let's everybody go calm down and we can come back next week and talk about this, or tomorrow, or whenever bedtime. So I think it's okay to take a step back and kind of not hammer a round peg into a square hole if it's not working. But I think it is that coming back to it, that like, not we're going to shelf this for good, but hey, it's not working right now. Maybe we need to shift some things and come back to it.
Yeah, that's so important, because I think a lot of people would say, oh, we listened to this podcast or read this book and now we're pumped on a family meeting, so let's do it. And then they sit down and the first one is hard. Well, the first time you do anything, it's hard. So you got to push through that and get to the consistency of like, I think when our kids realized this wasn't going to go away, they were like, okay, we might as well be full participants. And the other reason is because in that meeting, their destiny is decided. So do they want to say in their destiny or not? Because we could have the meeting without you guys, or you can be included and you can have a say in what your destiny is going to be. And I think that's been really helpful, to stick with it and let them know, hey, this is where dreams become reality, when we're all collaborating. This is when we pick our big family vacations and we set our goals and we make big decisions. So Do you want input or do you want mom and dad to make all the decisions? And that little takeaway close, I think works wonders for getting kids of all ages to engage in any type of family meeting or family system that you're trying to implement.
And I can't help but think, knowing you guys well, that there's probably a lot of buy-in from the kids now. You know, knowing your lifestyle, splitting time between Texas and the mountains of Colorado and watching Ty from little guy, you know, now to being, you know, going into teens. I mean, you guys have picked a lifestyle and I've watched him grow his goals around the snowboarding, which is so fun to watch doing stuff. I'm like, oh, hell no. Try that. And I can't help but think these meetings haven't had a forming effect around them for what you guys are doing, because you got to be talking about where you're going to be going, where you're going to be living, what adventure do you want to take? Do you really enjoy this? I mean, I've spent this time. So I've watched from the outside some of the growth with the family, and you've always loved the slopes, but it seems like he's taking on his own love and direction. And I can't help but think these meetings weren't a big part of it.
Yeah, I think it helps. I think they learn the process of getting what they want too. You know, I'm fortunate in that we exposed Tyler to something that I love deeply, and it happened to be something that he also loves a lot, but what's driven him to be better and better at it to the point where now he does things that I'd probably break my neck if I tried to do. The thing that I think drives him is he understands the value of setting goals, and we set those goals together. So he's always got something that is related to snowboarding or skateboarding that's on his goals that he's working towards. I do think that was born in the family mastermind environment where we talk about goals, and he got a lot of practice setting them and then celebrating them once he achieved them.
That's awesome.
Which shows too, they don't have to be always what kids would think is boring. Like, oh, I got to set a goal for good grades. And sure, that can be great, but talk about taking something they love and setting a goal around it. I think we've learned that's one of the best ways, is to set goals around things they love, not things we think they need. And that's when the buy-in really happens. And I got to tell you, I think you guys have done a great job at that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now, you mentioned equal voices. You know, you come to the family meeting and everyone has an equal voice. Now, I know that makes a lot of sense for our two families, because that's just how we live our life. Like, we are driven by the idea of our children totally surpassing us and doing everything we've ever done and far better, you know, and I know that you guys feel the same way. But what about those families that think, wait, equal voices, I'm the head of my household, you know, I am the CEO. You know, sometimes that buy-in can be hard to allow the freedom of everyone to have an equal voice. Do you ever get that pushback?
Yeah, I mean, all the time in family masterminds, but I mean, I also get that in the business world. And, you know, the reality is that leaders who want to command and control as a way of leadership, they end up getting lesser results, because nobody wants to be dictated to. You know, we want to be in an environment where what we say and what we do is received and it matters. And I think that brings out the best in people. And so if you're going to lead, it doesn't matter if it's your family or on your team or in your business, the more you value the opinions and the voices of your people, the more they're going to give you their great ideas and respect you for being somebody who doesn't have to have all of the answers. And I think it's a pretty big lie if any leader thinks that they're the one that has all of the answers. You have a team for a reason, because you can't do it all on your own. You need that input from others. And with kids, like, arguably, they have access to ideas and creativity that adults could only dream of, right? And so why not tap into that? But it's all within guardrails. It's not like if Tyler said, hey, I'm going to go do something crazy, this is my new goal, and even though it's illegal or this or that, we're going to say, oh, well, equal voices, then, you know, go ahead and go with it and learn your lesson. You know, we still have the responsibility of modeling good behavior and even stopping bad behavior. But as long as we have those guardrails set up, why not give them the space to really communicate what they want? It doesn't mean it's going to be a yes, but hey, at least they know that they can bring things up and it'll be considered.
And that probably goes in your relationship as well. Lindsay, do you have, just like our book, it's designed for parents and their children, but it can be spouses too. You know, we have modified the family board meeting to be, in addition to the time with the children, we now are committed to a once a quarter overnight trip together. And that's not something that we did before. You know, we're a couple years into the book and we're like, oh, we really like doing that. We should like make it a thing, like to where we have to. And so I just wonder, do you see couples implementing on like a spouse level as well, not just with the children?
Yeah. So, I mean, like one of the exercises in the book is creating the family bedtime. And usually the kids will go to bed a little bit earlier. And then Mike and I get to create our bedtime ritual after the kids have gone to sleep. So that's when we can spend some time together and do what we want to do while the kids are off in bed already. So.
Yeah. And I think being more collaborative, even with your spouse, like usually there's in anything you do, somebody is probably more skilled or more experienced, one spouse or the other. But a lot of times what we think we know prevents us from being open to knowing more. And I think the more we can allow the spouse to inform us or even give ideas or opinions, even if it's not their quote unquote area of expertise, like it's good to get a fresh set of eyes and somebody who's maybe not in it thinking they know it already to give that outside perspective.
Yeah, that's very powerful, Mike. Yes. I hope a lot of people learned. Jamie came from a very strong alternative education background and I learned so much, but in certain things we were doing, I was able to add just a little bit where she'd say, wow, that was a really good idea. And I almost didn't speak up because I felt unqualified. But then there were times even with some real estate deals where Jamie's forte was not real estate. And it was, oh, I'm 20 years in. She brought up some points and I'm going, holy hell, how did I miss that? Thank you, sweetheart. No, you're absolutely right. And now that we've had that yin-yang effort, it seems like things are a lot better all over. So we stay in our lane, but we definitely help each other see blind spots, you know? And I think that's such a powerful point, such a powerful point.
That even if we are not qualified, you know, just like our children are not qualified to lead in our family meeting, but they have super valid opinions and perspectives that we just can't see.
Yeah. And like Mike said, kind of creative solutions too. Mm-hmm. Like they might have an idea that sounds a little off the wall, but you're like, why not? Yes, let's do that. I think it was Tyler actually found this resort in Mexico and he was like, this is where I want to go on vacation. At first we were kind of like, really, buddy? And then we started looking at the resort. There was like a skate park there and a water park and it was right on the beach and they had all these shows and it was all inclusive. We're like, yes, we're going here.
That's so awesome.
That's so good.
Now is your book, tell us the difference between, so the book and the workbook, do they go together? Are they two separate?
They're sort of connected in some ways because in the workbook, or we call it a playbook because that sounds more fun.
Who do work?
But
oh, I love it. Yes.
There's a couple of exercises in there that are related to the Miracle Morning, specifically creating your Miracle Morning practice as a family. But the other exercises really take us outside of the scope of just the Miracle Morning. And it really goes into more of the shared values and the goals and the family meeting. And there's even a screen time contract exercise in there, which is a way to decide as a family what the screen time rules are. And then you actually create a contract that everybody signs. So I think a lot of that stuff is new and different from what's in the book. But, you know, it's very much connected because, you know, the whole premise of the Miracle Morning is about reaching your full potential and becoming the best person that you can be, elevating consciousness. And I think all of the activities that we have in our playbook are really about elevating the family and elevating the consciousness and the awareness of the family so that they can be the best family that they can be. Mm-hmm.
The way I kind of like to distill it down is the first book is kind of theory. It was kind of, why do we want to parent the way that we do? And the playbook is more the how to, like, how do we parent the way we do?
And what's the title of each?
So the book is The Miracle Morning for Parents and Families, and then it'll just be the second edition. And then the playbook is called The Miracle Morning for Parents and Families Playbook.
It's kind of a mouthful.
Yeah.
No, I like it. But everyone, you understand a playbook. There's lots of playbooks for a real estate brokerage or a wholesaler or a franchise owner, but there's not a lot of playbooks for family life. So I think that's very exciting and people dying for that. So we'll definitely be sharing in the show notes. You know, we'll be buying some copies and letting our whole community know about it. I mean, you guys have been very close. We've spent, again, a lot of time with each other. We love and respect you. It's always a pleasure being at Family Masterminds together, learning, teaching together. And I'm glad you're doing this because especially after what we've just gone through the last 18 months, there definitely has to be a regrouping of family because I think family life is taking a kick to the head through this whole craziness. And this is the kind of thing that can help it resettle. So
put some formation around it for sure.
Yeah. So is there any place that you guys want to let us know that people can find it? Is there a website or when's the book going live?
So the book will come out October 25th and there'll be information and some ways to get some freebies, free chapters and free exercises on the Miracle Morning website. So you can go on there and go under the book series and you'll be able to find it there. And then Lindsay has the gratefulparent.com website, which she does blogs and also any resources that we come across, books, things that we think can serve families, we always put it on to that website, gratefulparent.com.
Awesome. Okay.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Are you guys
both of the books will be on Amazon when they come out?
It'll be Amazon. Oh, okay. Good.
Perfect. That's great to know.
And is there any social media people will find you on or should look for you on Instagram or Facebook or?
Yeah, we have a Facebook group, the same name as the book, The Miracle Morning for Parents and Families.
Great. That's wonderful. I know that when we were first starting our journey, that was a really fun place to be, was on that Facebook page and to see when new people would come in and you would think, oh, I remember being the new person, and then just able to really guide each other along the way through your process and through thinking of how you're going to design this for your own family. It's fun. And it's totally something you can do with toddlers or with teens or with, you know, I mean, anybody can do it. It's great.
Yeah. And we'll probably lead a couple of free virtual workshops within that Facebook group as well. We did one earlier this year that was walking families through getting their values set up. And we'll probably do a few of the other exercises live because sometimes it's good to have someone to facilitate you through those processes as well. So we'll probably do a few of those and you can find info within the Facebook group for that as well.
Perfect. Okay. Well, the world definitely needs what you guys have. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, I would just echo that for you all and your mission. The family board meeting has been something that we talk about at all of our events. We're religious about doing ours with our children. And even just your approach to education and taking what kids need to learn for the practical realities of life and to make sure they're equipped for their lives. You know, we learned a lot of that from you guys and got a lot of inspiration early on in writing the book and the journey that we're on because we saw the mission that you guys were on and we're really on the same mission. And it's inspiring to be able to share that with the world. And Jim, you know, as an entrepreneur, like you and I both know that a big gap in many entrepreneurs' lives is, you know, either they didn't put enough time into the family and now they regret it, or they're not doing it now. And they're out building these legacies of more, more, more. And really what the families need more of is that entrepreneur to be there and to be in their lives. Yeah. And that's the mission that is just so important for our world right now. So we appreciate that you guys led the charge for that and became a model of what Lindsay and I hope to accomplish as well.
No, we appreciate that. And we need more of us being aware and trudging ahead without perfection and just doing our best. And you guys definitely set that example. So we'll look forward to many more masterminds and fun times together. And thanks for redoing the book, and we'll be the first ones to be ringing the bell as soon as it's ready and coming out here soon. Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.